were sitting in intercession, tired at the end of the year, thinking there's a certain area in church that people might not be pulling their weight. They're not helping out. And so we were discussing this as very spiritual people because we're at prayer. So you can skin it and it sounds spiritual. It wasn't that bad, but it could have gone in the wrong direction. And so we were just thinking about, why aren't people doing that? Why aren't they peeling their weight? And yes, I agree. And it's such a pity that they don't do this, and a pity that they don't help with and volunteer for that. And I just had such a conviction that in a moment, by the grace of God, thinking that maybe people are not doing stuff because they don't know how. Maybe people are not doing things because they can't. Maybe people are not doing things because they are tired. And maybe people are not doing things with the old covenant, with religion in the bad sense, bad definition of the word, that it's an outside-in thing. In other words, you have to do. And then you're like, oh, but I don't know how, and I struggle. Yet when, and this is in all simplicity, in the new covenant, the Lord comes and he does a miracle on the inside. He gives an ability, a want. He gives an anointing. It gives a grace and a love and a faith in your inside, and then it comes out. And in that moment, the prayer starts turning as we're interceding, and all of a sudden, poof, it's just like the Lord is in the room, and there's life. And we're praying, Lord, change our hearts. Come work on the inside. We're worrying about volunteering and doing this and doing those outside stuff. God, come and work on our inside that we can do the things that you want us to do, that we can have the holy lives, that we can lay down our lives, that we can love each other, that we can be a people of faith. God, but we realize the mess is on the inside. It's not on the outside. Please come and sort out the inside so that it will overflow to the outside. Lord, come on. And so, praise God. The enemy came in with bitterness and maybe just a bit of tiredness in all of us. Here we are again, five of us at the intercession. Where's all the other people? And then the Lord just turned it around. It became a Bethesda moment. Like, yes, it is. We all suck. It's only him that's good. He is the only life. But please put more of it in me that I can give it to other people. And so that, in short, is the vision for this year. See you next Sunday. There's going to be two areas or two legs, I believe. The first one would be inside out me. Exactly what I said. The new covenant living does not come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. The Lord gives us His Spirit. He comes and changes our heart. Does it all happen overnight? Does sanctification and salvation all happen in one moment and you're all done, dusted, sorted, and you're the end product? No, it's a lifetime. But it's, again, for us to realize again, if you're a bit confused, who am I again? And yes, I've got the kingdom on my inside. Why are things struggling? Holy Spirit, help me heal up. And so we're going to spend some time on our inside so that we're not whitewashed tombstones or tombs and walls on the outside, beautiful washed cups on the outside, but the inside of the cup is all dirty. Who's ever noted that the cup is a bit dirty on the inside? I've lately come across some dunk on my inside. Can you believe it? And lots of it, and then I'm just like, Lord, come. It need not help if I pick up a mic and I put on a collared shirt. I need you to work on the inside of the cup so that the inside of the cup can actually be a blessing unto others and carry your living waters. So that'll be the one leg, inside out me. Inside out me. And then the other one, inside out church. Is that who's been here for a while and loves the church? Likes, loves. Put your hands up. Come on. Let the inside come out. Thank you, Jesus. Can I get an egg joke here? But the bottom line is that God never made a family, never made you as an individual. He didn't send his son. He didn't get the disciples all to stick to the inside. They multiplied to the outside. What they had, they shared. What Zoe life, the Lord gave them, what fire was on them could not be stopped. So am I saying, let's go do something? No. What I am saying is, let's wait on the Lord to do something in us. And whatever He does in us, we need to trust Him to do it for others as well. If He restores your marriage, let Him restore somebody else's marriage. If He blesses your child, they get baptized in the Spirit, trust Him to do it for somebody else. If He saved you, Let's start trusting Him. If you enjoy the fellowship here, or the hot chocolate, or the ambiance, it's not a joke. Some people like the joke. It is a joke. But if you do like the ambiance, whatever the Lord is doing on the inside of this church, how are we going to trust Him to do it on the outside as well? It can be church without walls. You can use many analogies. There's lots of nice, interesting pictures. But those are the two legs that we're going to build on this year. We'll keep on getting back to it. It's really not rocket science, but I believe the foundation is found in scriptures. And there's three scriptures we're going to look at and break open, and there's many more. Hebrews 10 verse 16 says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Now, how is this applicable? You know, in the old covenant, law of Moses. In fact, even before that, there was a covenant made with Abram. Each time the Lord will give promises, but He will also expect through commandments things that they had to do. Now, in the law of Moses, there were certain ways in which the Israelites, the people of God, had to act and react and do. And if they sinned, they had to be forgiven. How? Through sacrifices. Through lots and lots of sacrifices. Lots of animals. Who's ever heard about that? Hallelujah. We're going to do Bible school, by the way. It's starting soon. And so through sacrifices and the flowing of blood, they had to be forgiven each and every time. So lots of animals had to perish for them to be forgiven. But these were the rules of engagement. God is a God of relationship, and He says, "I deal with you through covenant." And the old covenant, covenant of Moses, was the set of rules. There were the promises, one. Two, there was the sacrifice, the blood had to flow of those that were sacrificed, that washed them clean. And then there was thirdly a sign. Each time there was a sign that we are in covenant, we are in this agreement. And the sign of the old covenant is very easy. That was circumcision. I can't go into all of the detail. The reason why I'm saying all of this to you is that in the old covenant, there was a lot of sacrifice that had to be done. In the old covenant, they didn't have the grace of the Lord. But in the new covenant, the Lord says, "Well, now I will start working, not giving you the instructions and the stuff on the outside alone, but I will start working on your inside. From now on with the new covenant, I will write my law, the rules." Who likes rules? Okay, the four of you guys will lay hands on the rest of us afterwards. The flesh doesn't like rules, but these spiritual gurus, no, all of us, your spirit likes godly rules. But your flesh doesn't necessarily like rules. Unless the Lord has changed you and your flesh starts realizing, well, that's actually good for me. But the rules are no longer on stone tablets out there or placed next to the fridge. Now He says, "No, I'll start working on your inside so that you can do my will." Who's ever read through the Ten Commandments? Who's ever read through the Old Testament thinking, "This is hard"? Who's ever read through the Gospels thinking, "This is hard"? Who's ever thought of those things that are quite hard, and then a year or three later, you look back and think, "Well, I'm living those hard things"? Come on. Who's that happened to? It's called grace. It's called the working of the new covenant. It's the working of Jesus Christ and His Spirit in your life. That who you once were, you are no longer, for He started to do exactly that. So that's the foundational scripture. The second one is, on the last day, this is John 7:37. On the last day and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and called out in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living waters will flow from within him." He was speaking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Who of you believe in Jesus? Great. There is a wellspring. There's streams of living waters on your inside. Who's ever gone to a church get-together and there is absolutely no life there? Do you remember that other season way, way, way back? Not this season. No, I'm joking. But who's ever been to a... No, let's be honest. Come on. That's why people don't want to go. That's why people don't want to hang out with Christians, because sometimes they're dead. Or some other things are keeping them away. But who's ever been to a get-together or a gathering or a coffee and it's just so bone-dry dead? Somebody didn't switch on the tap. It's very simple. Christ didn't have that problem. Paul didn't have that problem. None of the disciples in the New Testament had that problem. And we're not going to judge people, not having living waters. I'm just saying the potential, the tap is on the inside. Okay? So if you're a small group leader, the tap's on the inside. If you're a visitor to a small group, the tap's on your inside. So if you go to a small group or you go to a gathering or coffee or a braai and there's just no life, no godly spiritual life, you've got a tap. You can change that party. You can be the party in a godly, tappy kind of way. Not tacky, tappy. So you can be the tap wherever you go. If it's in your home and there's chaos, guess what? Tap's in you. You can tell your children, if they want to start making friends, making Mikeys, and if the naughty kids are the ones they want to hang with, start developing their palate, start developing their thirst for the pure, unadulterated, living waters of the Holy Spirit. So that they know when they taste what is good and what is not. That they can not only be a tap, but that they can discern the other taps around them. Sorry, there's a lot of pictures here. I hope you're with me. You're like, is this guy working for a plumbing business or what's up with him? Anyway, and then the third foundational scripture this year for the theme, for the heart of Inside Out is very simply Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. And you know it. And on New Year's, we like to just hang out with the Lord. I think Edna was quite tired. And so I just prayed a bit and waited on the Lord. And it wasn't much. And then just around the turn of the year, I just really had an amazing encounter with the Lord. And amongst others, what the Lord just dropped in my heart is He said, this will be an Isaiah 61 year. This will be an Isaiah 61 season. And now, I'm very careful with these words. It might be very much just applicable to me, but I did pray into it, and I believe there's a grace for it for this church as well. I'm not going to run out and put it on Facebook and say, this is the word of the Lord for the whole of the earth. Might be. But I know that I've got faith for it, and I've got faith for this church. And again, it speaks of me, of the life that needs to be on the inside, the anointing upon you, because we don't want to pull each other into dead works. We don't want to put weighty, yokes. Thank you. That's the word I need. Weighty yokes upon each other to do and perform stuff if the Lord doesn't grace us on the inside. If the life by His Spirit doesn't come from the inside. Including the basics of reading your Bible and praying. We're not going to stop. We're going to pursue. We're going to knock hard for those. We're going to challenge each other in accountability. But we're going to say, Lord, if somebody doesn't want to read his Bible, if I'm struggling with it, please work on my heart. George said the other night at our leaders meeting or small group leaders meeting, he just said something randomly that he might not have picked up, but I picked up, and he said, they're trusting God for a heart for their area, for the community they're in. And it's very simple. But if you checked your heart, do you really have a heart? Will your heart break for Sunningdale? Will your heart break for Milnerton? Will your heart break for Tableview? Will your heart break for Bloberg or for Melkbos, wherever you stay? Do your heart break for the people? Or like me, sometimes do you judge their ways? Trek your neus op for idols, which can then very easily become your idols if you judge them. Ironically enough. But anyway, moving back to the scripture. So I just sense that the Lord says Isaiah 61 here. And so that's what I'm going to trust for. Lord, Saul doesn't need to go out and go do all these things. Paul doesn't have to go do all these things. But what I'm going to intercede for is, Lord, come upon this man. Come upon this man. Come upon this woman, Lord. Anoint them afresh. Make them realize who they are again. Come and open up the tap on the inside, Lord, so that we can see the fruit of Christ. You know what Jesus came for? The Holy Spirit is still here for. We're not less fortunate. Ons is nie minder bevoorregtes nie. Because what Jesus came for, the Holy Spirit is still here for. What Jesus came for and did, the Holy Spirit is still here for, and He is in you. Say amen. Amen. Dankie. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me because He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. I want to bring good news to the poor. They don't live in poor areas, by the way. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This morning we saw that and we're going to trust for that. To proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. We see prisoners all around. We see captives all around. Now and again, we see them in the mirror. That's why the Spirit is here and with us. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You see where the enemy comes and wants to see ashes? Beauty can come. Have you ever seen after a big fire came through a place, how beautiful it is when the first greenery starts coming out, the first flowers? It's much more beautiful than what it might have been before. And they had to work hard to get out there. So we trust that wherever you've seen destruction in a family, wherever you've seen destruction in an area or in a person's life, if you see ashes, what are you going to trust for? What are we going to do? I told you so? Or Kreifio? No, we're going to say, Jesus, come. Work from the inside out and bring flowers again, bring beauty again, bring restoration again. First of all, instead of mourning, and splendid clothing instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify Him. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore former devastations. They will renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Now, I don't know who's seen, maybe looked around. Do you see a bit of devastation around you today? Slight bit, maybe? Yeah, we do. So the bottom line is there's lots of work. But it's not work that you need to go fix. But maybe Christ in you wants to fix some of it. The beauty of all of this is you do not, if you see a mountain, mountain's problem, if you see destruction, if you see hurt, even if you look in this school or any other school in the area and you go hear the story, it is hair-raising. The things that happen to kids and happen in children's lives. Now, that mountain can be so big, but you don't have to go fix everything. You might change one thing. Say, Lord, I want to change that one thing that you want to change through me this year. Come, Lord, this is me. I've got a tap. Come on. Come on, Lord. The Zoe life, beauty instead of ashes. Lord, new clothes. Come on. All of that is on my inside, Lord. The anointing is upon me. Lead me. Hook me up, Lord. I can't fix all of it, but I can, with you, with your grace, fix some of it. Come, Lord, what we have in church, we want to see outside of church, Lord. I want to see it in my street. We high five, hey, brood, hey, sister, have coffee. But when I'm in my street, I get in my bucky, I park, and I go in. Do I worry about fellowshipping there? Yeah, I'm concerned about new people. I see new people. Let's hook up, let's high five, let's ask who they are. New people moving to my street? Could I fear? It wasn't literally like that, but we need to check our hearts. The tap is here. You might be the only tap in your street. Sorry, I'm tapping on the tap theme a lot this morning. It's a bit tap it. But anyway, it kind of works. I feel there's faith on it. But you might be the only tap in your street. You might be the only stream of living waters, wellspring, tap, at work. I'm from Belleville. Anyway, not even in a sermon yet, but praise God. You godly people have lots of time, I know. Now, we'll wrap this up. At the beginning of a year, we trust in the Lord for where we go and vision, but we need to know who we are. And we've been doing that, and if you're still wondering, and if there's areas of your life, please solidify that with the scripture. We send out 3 pages of amazing scriptures and declarations this last week and a half, that we can meditate on in your quiet time. Go through those scriptures. Not all of them. I don't know how many. Who counted them? But it's 3 pages. I don't know how many promises there are on those pages. But maybe there's 3 that you need to solidify and have faith in this time. So know who you are. And then secondly, know what you value. Because what you value, you will sacrifice for. And what you sacrifice for will be what you believe will give you life. And then lastly, we want to know, where are we? Where am I standing? If I get tackled quite hard and I'm in the crowd, but I'm wearing a jersey and a scrum cap, then I know I'm in the wrong place. I need to get back on the field. Now, some of you might need to get back on the field. I'm going to explain that just now. Know where you're standing in time. Now, who's ever read up about dispensationalism and dispensation theology? Everybody, anybody except Petri? Oh, all three, four of you guys. You can teach me afterwards. I just stick my toes in these things and then it freaks me out and then I go back to being childlike. Hopefully not naive. So if I'm talking nonsense, you can chat to me. I'm not going to go into this. Apparently seven dispensations and stuff, and I read up what John Piper says, and I usually like what John Piper says. But what I see in all of these things is that very simply in the Bible, the way in which God spoke to his people, there were three things that stand out for me. Namely, that first to the patriarchs, he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, he worked with the family lines, and he usually spoke to the dad, and the dad spoke to the rest. Then he became the God of Israel, his people, a covenant God of the old covenant. You all know that out of the Old Testament. So the old covenant, he gave them his promises, but also then his instructions, and he made sacrifice, and they had to make sacrifice. And that is the way in which they will live and what? Be safe and secure. Why did they want God? Because they want to be safe and secure. And later on, they saw his beauty. They got to know him. He's actually a cool God. I want to stick with him. And so, firstly with the patriarchs, with families, then corporately with Israel, with his people, and then came who? Jesus Christ. And then came what I would just very simply, don't get all technical on me, just call the New Covenant Dispensation. In other words, it is the time after Jesus came, laid down his life, and were resurrected. Where are we in all three of those? That one. Yes, that's a beautiful answer. That one. We're in the last one. We're in the dispensation of the New Covenant. Very simply, God spoke to a family line way back and was big on families. He's still big on family, but it's in a different way. Then he had Israel, his people. Didn't lose all of that, but now today, he's God of you and me individually, firstly and primarily. He's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you need to fall under that per se, but he comes and he's your God. He's your God. He's my God. And he connects with us individually as well. Where it wasn't as much in those times. Did he speak to individuals in the Old Testament? Yes, he did. But in general, he now wants to connect with all of us. My righteousness is not dependent upon the family line and family. Yes, I can get influenced, definitely, absolutely. I'm now not one of Israel, and my righteousness depended upon on them. My righteousness is dependent upon whose relationship with God? Mine. And so now we're in the New Covenant dispensation where I have my own righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Frida, Sophia, Mila, my three daughters, will not become righteous because I believe. They need to have a relationship with God. I also don't want them to serve my God in the way in which I see him. I want them to meet him personally. I want, as our sister said this morning, I want them to taste and know that he is good for themselves. Not only my testimonies. It might include it. Might include what the revelation or the little bit of revelation that I have of him as a father. But anyway, long story short, I want them to individually know God, and that is where we are at. So you know who you are again. You know now that God is a God of covenant. Covenant is the nature by which the relationship with God is defined. It's the type of relationship that he has with us. He makes promises. There's a sacrifice involved. And there's a sign then at the end. We're going to quickly get back to that just now. But we are in the New Covenant dispensation. Now, why is that important? Why is it important? Anybody? Why is it important to know that you're in the time after the resurrection, and God has given his new covenant? Why is it important? And the mere fact that we're not saying that it's important or not knowing why it's important is the fact why it is important. So if I do not know that, and if I don't, with 2 feet, stand firmly knowing that I'm in a new covenant agreement, relationship with God, this is the nature, the foundation of my relationship with God. If I do not know that, I can really be taken for a ride by the enemy. We're putting in people that rent, that leasing my mother's place soon. Now, if they don't read the contract that I've drafted, I can tell them a whole lot of nonsense. Oh, well, next month you need to pay 40,000 rand. Okay, sure. And so that's exactly what the enemy does. If you do not know who you are and where you stand, in other words, your covenantal relationship with God, you do not know what the word says, then the enemy can just take you for a ride. Oh, but you wanted to say something. Yes, we need to know we've got the Holy Spirit, along with a couple of other things. Because we got the Holy Spirit, we need to look at the sacrifice. We need to know the time. Would it have been different if you were born 3,000 years ago? 2,500 years ago, let's be safe. It would have been totally different. Would it have been different the way you see God, understand Him? If you pick up the Bible and you read the Old Testament now, if you go read Job, for instance, which I've seen many times, and you forget the lens of the covenant that you're in, you can get confused. If you go read the Old Testament without realizing who you are new and where you're standing covenantally, it can really confuse you. And in fact, the enemy can then use the lies, religious lies of the word, putting you back into doing a bunch of stuff that you need not do. Or even if God gives a prophecy out of the books of the prophets, or you read something in the Kings, the books about the kings, and you're like, who's this God, forgetting where you stand in the covenant that you have with Him and the spirit that you have? In other words, your context is, or Demokar, what happened? Confusion can come in. So it's very important to know who I am, okay? To know who I am, and then where am I standing, spiritually speaking, what dispensation is this, and how does it affect me before I move on? For if I'm found and I'm a lawyer, if I'm a lawyer and I live in Cape Town, and that's as far as it goes spiritually, the enemy's going to take me out. Because it's God's going to stand in the spirit. I hope this makes sense because it's so important to know. For this covenant that we are in is called the perfect covenant. It's called the perfect covenant. You might like, yawn. Have you any idea how many millions, if not billions of people would have loved to be in the dispensation where you are sitting in? To know that they're sons and daughters of God, to hear His voice directly, and to be in a covenantal disposition where somebody else has already paid and they know that. You have no idea how fortunate you are. I had to prep for Bible school recordings over covenant, and this is one of the parts that really stood out for me, and I was in tears. I just realized what God did again. Old covenant, He said, this is what you need to do, and this is what I will do for you as a God. This is the sacrifice of animals, and blood need to flow, and then the sign would have been accordingly. We couldn't do that. None of us can become righteous in and of ourselves. And so He sent His Son to pay what? The perfect price. He paid the perfect price on your behalf. We need not become flippant about that. So in the Old Covenant, you see three elements. You see the promises made. You see the sacrifice. And thirdly, you see then the sign. And you're like, okay, cool, but how does it affect me? It affects us so, so immensely. Because God realized, and He knew this from the offset, but He made us to realize that we can't do it. We can't build. You know the Tower of Babel? Wanting to build up to the sky, we always try to do it ourselves. But a metaphorical picture of Babel is this, wanting to do that through religion, we had to come do that through faith in Christ, who is now the way to God. Coming back to the three elements. So the three elements is the promise, the sacrifice, and then the sign of the old covenant. People realize they can't be righteous in and of themselves. They can't reconnect with God relationally without Him. And so Christ came, paid the price. The promises now are God will give life and life in abundance. God will protect and be with you. God will give you eternal life. So God did that. The Son then came. Jesus said, hey, I know they can't. I'll pay for it. You're going to get into a covenant with them. You're going to protect them as a people. They're going to be in a new dispensation where by grace they can be righteous and have eternal life and start the working of the Spirit in their life to be a renewed people and not be fallen and not end up in hell. God, you're giving the promises. I'll pick up the tab. I'll go pay. And He comes and He pays the perfect price. And then the Trinity, in their perfection, does the third element, the sign. What is the sign of the new covenant today? Where it was circumcision in the old covenant, what's the sign today? It's the Holy Spirit upon us. You might ask, but what's my part of the deal? What do I need to do? Even there, we need help. There God came and He gave us His Spirit. How does this work? That which you need to do, the Holy Spirit is here to help you to do. I mean, what a deal. I've seen many fairly good commercial deals in my life, but this is a good deal. This is a good deal. God says, these are the rules. This is how I'm going to relate with people. This is how I'm going to protect them and be them God. This is how they're going to have eternal life and not perish and end up in hell. They can't add anything. I'll do everything for them. I'll make the rules, and then I'll bring safety and security and eternity for them. And as a son, as God, I'll go pay for it. The perfect sacrifice. None can be added. And the Holy Spirit says, well, they're going to need to help them keep the end of the bargain. I'll go help them. And if they walk by the Spirit, they will have the fullness of the new covenant. If ever there was a picture of grace, and all we need to do is humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord. Yes, I want to stand in. I want to live in that time. I want to live, if I have to live, and if I can't go, if I can't skip, start, and go to, not to jail, if I can't skip, start, and go to heaven, I want that option, please. New covenant dispensation, yes, yeah, sublief, Nikki, ek wil hom hê. I want to be there, because that's the time where God says, I made the rules, but I'll pay for it and I'll help. It's like I tell Frida, you're grown now. You're 9 years old. From now on, you either need to go make your own lunch, or moreover, you need to buy lunch at school. So it's like, okay, cool. And then I just put my hand in my pocket and say, well, I'll pay for it. I mean, it cannot be better than that, guys. And so this is where we're standing now. This is where you need to remind yourself where you are standing. You are standing in a time where God gives us rules. And if we miss it, you miss out badly. But then He says, there is a price, but I will pay. But there are certain things that you need to do, but I will do them through you. For the word says what? The word says that He will lead us both to will and to do. The word says that through the Holy Spirit, the new covenant is that the laws will be on our hearts. So no longer like with the old covenant, from the outside the rules came in and you're like, I can't do this. Now He says, no, by my Spirit, the rule is on your heart, do not murder. The rule is on your heart, do not commit adultery. The rule is on your heart, love one another. The rule is on your heart, hey, how about helping out and serving and giving out some food? Hey, how about contributing? Hey, how about not making everything about yourself? And He starts working this in your life. Hey, how about being the tap to other people that need it? This is really good news of the dispensation where we find ourselves. Jeremiah, there's a Jeremiah 31 scripture. It's either before or after that. If you can just flight that, I would really thank you. This is prophetically what he said about the dispensation we find ourselves now in. Is, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, and accordingly now with us believers. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. In other words, saved them. We all need saving all the time. My covenant which they broke, though I was husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what does this mean to us today? It means that if God requires something of you, there will also, through God, be the ability to do it. If He wants it, He'll give it to you to give it to Him. Is it always as simple? We fight with the flesh. We fight with the ways of the culture we're in. We fight with the social status and the social well-being of those around us. And then we also fight a massive spiritual fight. And so, yes, there is an enemy that does not want you to put on your tap. But the power and the encouragement this morning lies in this. Know who you are and know that it's been done for you by faith, and the potential is on your inside. Guys, if if the fullness of this revelation, if the fullness of this very simple truth takes hold of all of our hearts, we can single-handedly change the world. Not to look cool, not to this, not to that, but Christ can come everywhere. If we just remind ourselves, it's not all of those other millions of voices that the enemy would like you to agree with, but it's this one, that I'm a new covenant being, that God is in control, and that He's given me His Spirit. And we're ending off with sacrifice. I want to ask you, what are you sacrificing for in your life? We want to get ahead. Whoever heard their parents say, but we just want to give our kids what we didn't have, or we just want to give them something better. And I do not knock if we sow in education. I do not knock if you sow in business. I do not knock if you sow financially or even look after your health or wealth and well-being. That's all good. But primarily, what do you sacrifice for? Because the old covenant sacrifices was not enough for us. And in the new covenant, we now see that there's only one sacrifice that can truly pay for everything and truly lead to life and life in abundance, and that is the one we receive by faith, not the ones we do out of the flesh. If we receive that by faith, this perfect sacrifice each and every time, and that defines us, then there's scope to look after other things as the Lord leads. But if my sacrifice of my time and my effort, my money, my resources go in looking after myself, in seeking safety and security outside of Jesus, it's not going to save me. And it's not going to help me. I want to ask you today, what are you going to sacrifice for this year? And this is not some contorted, wayward way of trying to get you into volunteering, by the way, just if anybody thinks that, in Jesus' name. This is saying, if you sow, sow eternally. If you sacrifice, don't waste your time. Do not waste your time. Because you can sacrifice a whole life for nice hobbies and nice things and nice retirement, and it can be a total waste of time. Sacrifice, because we are people of sacrifice. There's always sacrifice involved. Sacrifice, but sacrifice wisely. And knowing that there's only one sacrifice that will lead to eternal life, and that will lead to life and life in abundance in your life. We're not going to get to Hebrews 9 today, but I think we know by now that Christ had already done that second element, which is so important to us. Will you guys stand with me as I'm going to close for us? In essence, as we move into this year, you can put on that that last slide, I think. We are here. It's quite big and bold. Thank you. So just to quickly pull this all together, this is where we are standing. This is where you are standing as a believer. This is from where I believe the revelation and the healing and the restoration, wherever necessary, is done in one's heart, where vision can safely be pursued. We said to one another 2 weeks back already that you will end up going or moving in the direction of who you believe you are. I can give you lots and lots and lots of ideas and visions, and so can the world. But at the end of the day, who you are will determine where you go, not the stuff that your pastor says. And so let's remind ourselves, we are sons and daughters of God. What was the first words Jesus ever used when he was still 13 or 14 years old? He looked up and said, "Don't you know I am about my Father's business?" So go on with what you have to do. Build what you need to build. But primarily remember this, you are a son and a daughter. You're not all of the other stuff, firstly. So that we can also say, I am about my Father's business, and this is eternal. Secondly, the basis of our relationship with God is covenant, and the type is new covenant. You're in the best dispensation, the best time and era that we can be in. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's hard. But we've been given all three elements. God, amazing promises. The Son saying, I will pay. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit that says, I will help you do your end of the bargain. You just say yes. And so we need to walk by faith and walk by the Spirit. Let's close our eyes. Lord, thank you that The tap is on our inside. Thank you that the Spirit is on our inside, that the help and the sign of your new covenant is within us. Lord, I pray that we will be a people that when we do sacrifice, that we'll sacrifice wisely, Lord. Not just culturally, not just fleshly, and definitely not in line with the economic strongholds of our time. Give us discernment, Lord. Give us discernment to sow and sacrifice wise. Lord, I thank you every single soul that stands here is sacrificing. This is time sacrificed. So thank you for this sacrifice this morning. But thank you also, Lord, it cannot add to what Christ has done. And so thank you that we come today and remind ourselves that He paid so that I can be a righteous. He paid so that I can live. He paid so that the perfect covenant can be mine. If you this morning just want the Lord just to dust off the realities of where you are and who you are again through His Holy Spirit and through the Word, so that you do not stand up after the tackle, that you do not find yourself in canal walk, and that you do not find yourself disorientated and not knowing where you go. If you want Him just to come and speak to you afresh in this time, He knows where you need it, and He knows where the areas of doubt and fear and even deception is. If you want Him just to minister to you in these areas, just quickly put up your hand. I want to pray with you, very simply. Lord, I thank you for these hands. Just saying this, Lord, life is short and we do not want to waste it. Lord, come and speak to us, and you know what we think and who we are. You know where our minds need to be renewed. But Lord, may we be a people of biblical and godly identity. And may we also find ourselves in our belief and in our thought life, Lord, to be found in the covenant with God, the new covenant. Lord, remind us daily through your Holy Spirit that Christ paid and that we do not have to pay again, that shame and condemnation can no longer minister to us. And thirdly, Lord, we pray for us as a people. Will you, by your Holy Spirit, come and help us walk in this covenant with God? And we thank you for that. Lord, highlight where the enemy is lying to us in our life in this season. Highlight it. And take out the works of the enemy in our life. I'm going to close, and the thing that just keeps on ringing in my spirit is, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. I'm just going to pray that, and I want us, if you agree with that wholeheartedly, to see it in your life, inside out, and to see it in this church and church community inside out this year, I want you just to say amen as we close. Father God, very simply as children, we come and declare, for this year, in us, in our homes, and in this church community, as it may be your will, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.